Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
How are you feeling about that?
It's going good.
What are some of the things that you're trying to focus on here?
I'm trying to get good, be good.
While you're trying to be good,
it's going pretty good.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Come on, man, it's Friday. You ain't got nothing to do. Come on through Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. If you're up this way, and we're out here all afternoon, Mike Bell said it. It's a beautiful day. Lots of wonderful listeners out here hanging out with us. Two ladies just walked in and went, who the hell are these guys? I just wanted a burger.
I know. I always feel bad. Like, we were at Murph's the other day, and it was kind of funny because there was this group of people that came in. They were a day early for the San Francisco Giants series with the Bravos. And these guys are like, and right in front of the speaker, I go, you can always find another table. He's like, no, I like your show. It's interesting. I'm like, well, thank you, sir. But we're upstairs here at Grindhouse. Live fast, eat well, baby. You know the motto. One of our favorite burgers in town. And Johnny and his guys do a fantastic job. And they've got Hey Man Ale on draft. So come on down, have an ice cold Hey Man and a burger. And this will also be a great place, real quick, Carl, before we get to the NFL Blitz. They're going to have a giant block party here. They're going to have tents, shenanigans. It's going to start around 3 o'clock. So Grindhouse tomorrow, get your butt down here.
Yeah.
They're going to have all sorts of drink specials and shenanigans. So if you're looking for some fun, Grindhouse is where you want to be. Whole parking lot party right here off of Lumpkin. So come down off of Millage.
All right, man. Sounds like a great time. Terrific time.
And Athens.
An awesome time.
Talking to a Notre Dame fan earlier today when we first got in here, and we're talking about like the quintessential college town, which Athens is.
Yes,
I mean,
it
this is what you look up college town, the dictionary. Everything is centrally located. We're down on the other end of where the stadium is. But obviously, guys, downtown is going to be nuts. I'm just curious how many thousands of people make the trip just to be here for the weekend.
Well, you know
the guys who don't even have the tickets just want to be part of the vibe.
Yeah, but you know how it is. I mean, listen, over the years, we've been all-star games and, you know, major events in sports. Half the people, they don't have tickets,
right?
They just come to town
to
hang out
for the show.
Right. And I think this is no different. You know, they just want to come for the vibe. Most of the people I've talked to be quite honest with you, weren't getting tickets because those ticket prices started out at such a high price.
Right.
And a lot of them were like, well, I just planned on tailgating. And then I ran into a couple of guys earlier when we got here that said, you know what, ticket prices have come down. I'm actually thinking I might go to the game tomorrow if I get a chance.
But there's still something sacrilegious about spending $325 per ticket plus handling charges from StubHub or Ticketmaster to sit in the 600 level. I've never sat in the 600 level. I've seen pictures from the 600 level. I've always been spoiled because Captain Gary sits right behind the Georgia bench.
Yeah.
So we're like 10 rows up. But, I mean, to sit up there, I mean, you can see Atlanta from the 600 level.
It's true.
But, I mean, hey, if you got to be here, you got to be here.
If you're in the building.
The expanded seats, it's going to look great on TV.
Hey, man, a quick reminder, Falcons watch party, Penn and Proper, located off of Grant Street near Grant Park. It's Sunday at noon, guys. Falcon prizes on site, cheerleaders, Falcon alums, and more. Hey, we got plenty more to get to. Jason Longshore's on the way at about 3:40. We'll talk some soccer with him as Atlanta United continues their quest towards possibly winning another MLS Cup, but they got to get through the regular season, and tomorrow they are back on the pitch, so Jason's on the way. We'll talk more Falcons in a bit, but right now, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL! With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Well, Mike, let's start first with last night's Thursday night football matchup. First of all, there's like six fans in the stands at Jacksonville. Did you see this? Now, I know it rained, but
still.
Yeah,
I heard Gardner Minshew at the end of the game. He's like, thanks to Jack fans for making so much noise. I'm like, well, it wasn't really appreciable on television, Gardner. But, that's always been one of those stories where if ever there was a team was going to pull up stakes and actually move to Europe, it would be Jacksonville. They don't have the disposable income for tickets. I know they do have a hearty group of maybe 25,000 souls. Bless their hearts.
Bless them.
But, it's not exactly the most intimidating vibe. But it was just ugly football. And I think that entire division, save for when Deshaun Watson is doing his thing, it's just an ugly division right now.
It is. I would tell you, once Andrew Luck retired, it's up for grabs.
Right.
And, you know, you would think if Nick Foles was healthy that Jacksonville might have a shot. But not when your best corner and Jalen Ramsey now wants out and Foles is hurt.
And you touched on this to start the show. It's our NFL Blitz here on Dukes and Bell. And Carl said it. I mean, we have to play these guys, and you don't want to get overconfident, but you look, you know, okay, we got to go play the Colts. Good running game. Marlon Mack's not 100%. Jacoby Brissett, 5-1 touchdowns to picks, but still doesn't really scare you. But then you look at Jacksonville and the Titans, and I'll say it again. Marcus Mariota, when he was drafted, this is what you need in the NFL. The quarterback that can get outside the hash marks and do this, he doesn't run anymore. He was a sitting duck. Calais Campbell, I think he just got another sack.
Eight sacks, bro. And I'm watching that game, by the way, and I'm going, Grady, are you watching this?
I mean, this could be a game where if you're worried about Vic Beasley getting 10 sacks and I get a tattoo of Vic's face, Jacksonville and Tennessee could be the game. This goes a long way to get that number up.
Speaking of Minshew, let's hear how it sounded when he threw a touchdown pass to DJ Clark Jr. Thanks to the Jags Radio Network.
Shotgun two left, one right for Gardner Minshew. He drops the throw, four-man rush. Fires toward the end zone. Once D.D. Chark in the corner of the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. Chark attack. And Jacksonville has extended the lead.
That was Minshew. He looked good last night. I don't know where he's going to go. Hold on, Sam. We'll take care of you. Sam Charlie's hanging out with us, and he's like, what's going on? Hey, let's hear from him after the game talking about the experience.
Yeah, man, you can't beat it. You know, it was awesome to experience it with these guys. Man, we've been battling our tails off, getting closer and closer, and to finally do it in our home field. It was a lot of fun.
All right, man. Mariota, though, Mike, to your point, he was asked after the game, you know, the Titans, you know, do you like their coaching staff? Do you like their personnel? Ultimately, it's a quarterback league. You hear me talk about it all the time. Right. He's got to put the team on his back and sometimes carry that squad. Their offensive line is questionable. I get it up front. But with his mobility, you would think he'd be able to make some of the plays we're talking about.
Right. And don't forget, remember the big lineman from Michigan. He got suspended. Remember the PED suspension?
Yes.
So they lose a lot of beef on their left tackle position. So
you're talking about Taylor Lewan.
Taylor Lewan. So this is part of that suspension. So they were susceptible. If you didn't see it, Calais Campbell looked like he was 5 years younger getting after it. But in Minshew, it's a fantastic story. Where else would Mike Leach go but a pirate school, ECU, to go get a quarterback? He was a graduate transfer, set all sorts of records, was the Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year. And it's just a great story. And after the game, I was watching NFL Network. They had his dad, his mom out there. Big rainstorm. They're all under the cover. And his old man looks like he can play linebacker right now in the NFL. Mm. So it's really cool things with Minshew. We'll see them later on. By then, Nick Foles probably would be under center. But I agree with Carl. You as a Falcon fan, it's hard not to look at those games and go, wow, how do we lose those games to those guys?
You score 20 points, you should be okay. I mean, that's how you're thinking about it. We'll see where our team is at that point, though.
NFL Blitz. Now we understand, Carl, why Ron Rivera was so prickly with the media the other day. He had 5 questions about the health of Cam Newton and finally said, I'm not answering any more questions about Cam Newton, and he split.
He split because Cam is out for Sunday. Fantasy football alert. I repeat, fantasy football alert. Cam is out.
If you got Cam as your quarterback, I see your future. 0-10.
Yeah, Mike, they're saying it's the foot injury, the ankle that he hurt in the preseason. I still think there's more to this. I think people know in Carolina, and that's why he's avoiding those questions, because at some point he's going to have to answer them. And here's the deal. If Cam is injured, Ron Rivera's got to answer questions of why you keep running him out there. If he's not injured, or maybe not as much as we thought, then why is he playing so poorly? So either way you go, I don't know if it's a win-win for Ron Rivera. It's more of a lose-lose, because the problem is Cam is just not accurate. And so if it's the ankle now, you're taking away from his mobility.
Right. I'll throw another name at you. And I know I put this out there about the Steelers. Eli Manning has a no-trade clause.
Yeah.
All right, they've got a decent defense, right, in Carolina?
They do.
They've got McCaffrey. They've added some size at wide receiver. If you could just find somebody to competently, under 20 yards, deliver the football, isn't that what Eli Manning is now? Now, he'd have to sign off on it, and he doesn't want his football card to look like Johnny Unitas's where you wind up in San Diego. But to me, you got a guy, if you put some decent pieces around Eli Manning. I mean, because, look, let's be honest. The Kaepernick thing ain't happening. It's just not going to happen. But, I mean, if you want a serviceable quarterback with some better pieces around him, you brought Eli Manning down there, that team could actually win a couple of games.
All right, so let me ask you this, because you just talked about the back of his, you know, football card or whatever. Does Eli even want to win in the NFL anymore?
I don't even know what Eli wants, because he's so – but what his strength is, he was able to let everything kind of roll off his back like a duck in New York, but he's so low-key. Rumors have been he hasn't told anybody his intentions. I just wonder if it was a playoff contender – and I don't know if an 0-2 Carolina is that. That's why I mentioned the Steelers last week. I thought that might be a nice fit, especially with the connection between the Maras and the Rooneys, the families that own the teams.
Listen, I think it's an interesting thing. I just don't know what Eli wants. Is he content now just riding this out, being in New York?
I just can't imagine. And here's the thing. If you have the heart of a competitor, I know that sounds cliche.
If you have the heart of a warrior.
But, I mean, who wants to sit there and go, then again, the American dream is to make $17 million and sit on the sideline wearing a baseball hat.
And that's what
he's going to do.
Yeah, that's what he's going to do. Let's talk about this Antonio Brown situation, Mike. By the way, NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. If you didn't hear this story, and it's kind of been out there, but an SI.com report that came out about Antonio Brown basically sending harassment text messages to one of the unnamed accusers that shares allegations of what Brown is basically going to have to go to court for, or may go to court for in this civil case, Mike. And basically, to put it plain and simple, this is bullying, okay? Brown has information on this young lady. She obviously has information on him. And now he sends her these text messages, and the texts are out there, and it just is a bad look from a guy that basically, with this whole situation, needs to let it play out legally, not in the court of public opinion.
I mean, this is something where if you hadn't read the Sports Illustrated article, and again, it's a lot of hearsay, and it's a lot of folks who, but I will say this, it's a lot of people, if you believe that there is a common thread here, he reaches out to people, brings them into Team Antonio Brown, and then he ghosts them when it's time to pay them. And this story about this woman specifically, and this was in the article that came out last week, initially that's how we first heard about her, which then caused him to tweet or text her and read out.
Yep.
But he's at a charity event. This woman did a painting of him. She's an artist. And he says, I'm going to buy that. And then he never pays for the painting. He just takes it home, basically scams the charity out of the $700 they were asking. And then he asks her to come to his home and paint a mural. While she's in the process of painting a mural, she alleges he walks over with, like, basically a washcloth over his package and stands next to her. And she says, I've been around alpha male. She said it, and I just blew it off.
Yeah.
But, and she said, I don't want
just
any money.
Just the washcloth? I need a towel.
She goes, I don't want any money. Well, I mean, I presume that was part of the idea.
Okay.
You know, maybe if he had a fig leaf, he'd rock
I need a beach towel, but that's just me.
This is the woman that alleges this. So then he brings it up. By then, you could argue, to your point, harassing or threatening her. This is the kind of stuff which will get him in trouble with the league. And this is why Nike's walking away, because for all the great things that Antonio Brown does on the field, and I never walked a mile in his footsteps as a teenager. I know he had a tough upbringing in a tough part of Miami, but other people have overcome that kind of adversity. He just really comes off like a bad guy, Carl. There's just no other way around it.
Let's hear from Antonio Brown. He finally got a chance to speak, and he was asked about being in New England because he hadn't really had a chance to say anything.
Right.
And, again, I don't know how much he'll actually talk this year, you know, with the way New England handles things. But here's Antonio Brown talking about on the field.
I'm super grateful to be here to play for Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I got a lot of the offense to learn and catch up, but I'm excited and grateful to be here and to be a part of these guys.
All right. So, again, we'll see where this off-the-field stuff goes, but that's just Antonio trying to bully these women, man, and it's a bad look.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you got Second Life in New England, you got a chance to make some money after the situation in Oakland. I mean, like I said, it's – the optics aren't good, and again, everybody is innocent until proven guilty. This is still America, and these are civil, you know, in one case, it's a civil suit, in another case, it's just a woman who reached out and talked about her own experience, and there's no way to prove it one way or the other, but there's so much anecdotal stuff about Antonio Brown, it's hard not to take her and believe her at face value. All right, one last nugget, Carl. NFL pyrotechnics. You get in your seat, Falcons come out, whoosh, 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 fireworks go blasting. The problem is, unlike Atlanta, who knows how to handle their fireworks, rest of the teams, not so much. Did you see the video of what happened in
Tennessee? Yeah.
You got a fireball. I mean, this is like the real deal. So I presume there's whatever flammable liquids, whether it's gas or alcohol, whatever they're using to get that explosion.
Might be propane. Who knows?
Napalm. Either way.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing blows up, and they've got a giant fire. They'd go to the fire extinguishers. Anyway, they've had problems with that in Minnesota, apparently, before the Falcon game. They had some issues, which I wasn't aware of before our game. That might explain some of the haze when we were watching that game on television up there at U.S. Bank Stadium. But either way, NFL says, guys, you can't play with matches anymore. Pyrotechnics on the field get a brief ban while the NFL reevaluates the safety protocols before they can have earth-shattering kabooms.
I just saw a guy waving fans off, like in the stands. Get out of there!
Right.
Like moving fans from one section to another.
Well, the thing is, the flames, now I don't know much about pyrotechnics. I went to Florida State. But traditionally, they fire, Carl, vertically. This is the case where you got the team running out, and you've got a flame coming at you horizontally, like a flamethrower, like we're trying to take out a pillbox on Omaha Beach. So, safe to say, you don't want to have your free agent getting burned alive as he's running down the field.
It looked crazy, and the video's out there. But, yeah, good idea, NFL. Good idea to postpone this stuff. Hey, real quick, the Jets, by the way, they've got quarterback issues. All their guys are hurt. Mike, they are going to start Luke Falk.
Giddy up. Yeah, Simeon went out, and you got Sam Darnold with the cooties. Meanwhile, down in Miami, Josh Rosen gets a reprieve. Fitzmagic is out, and Josh Rosen gets the start for the Dolphins this weekend against the Cowboys. I think Cam Newton might have 6,000 points this week in fantasy.
Cam Newton?
Oh, no, sorry. No. Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott, yes.
Do not start Cam Newton. He's not playing.
No, he's out.
Dak's going to have, between him and Ezekiel Elliott, you might have like your best week ever in fantasy football.
Hey, the latest on the Falcons, we actually catch a break. Now, you don't want these kind of things. You don't wish for them. But I'll take it. We'll tell you about it next.
Right on.
We're out here having a good time at Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens. It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Friday, man. Glad to have you listening to Atlanta's number one sports show. Meeting so many cool listeners out here. Guys coming out here like Adam, who says, man, I don't get a chance to come to Atlanta when you guys are out. But if you're in Athens, I'm going to make my way around and get here. And so he's out here at Grindhouse, man.
Yeah, man, we got plays with Georgia. They got a rugby club out here in Athens. Now we're just talking about rugby. I'm like, he's about a biscuit shy at 300. I guess you're playing scrum half. prop. But anyway, man, always some great times out here. We're upstairs, second level at Grindhouse off of Lumpkin. They've got Heyman Ale, as Carl mentioned, and really is a great vibe. People are fired up. Got a bunch of Notre Dame fans coming through where everyone's having some fun. The message is, let's be hospitable to the Irish, just like Georgia fans really enjoyed the gracious welcome from Irish fans 2 years ago up in South Bend.
All right, coming up, guys, we're going to get a chance to talk with Jason Longshore in less than 15 minutes. Stay right there. We'll find out what he thinks about Atlanta United's chances against San Jose tomorrow. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, what did David Pollack have to say from College Game Day about this matchup? You'll hear it. But, Mike, let's talk about our Falcons, man, because Sunday we feel good about our squad, right? We did exactly what we needed to do last Sunday, which was, redeem ourselves, because right, that was the thing that we needed to do. We played a better game. We still had turnovers. We still had penalties. But ultimately we win the game and we made the plays we needed to. So now, how do you build on that going to Indianapolis?
Right. I mean, first things first, I think most Falcon fans out there, including the man himself, Matt Ryan, don't expect Matt to do the kind of things for a third time. A third week in a row of Matt with a really inexplicable pick in the red zone. The one that they couldn't have thrown away in the back of the end zone to Minnesota. The one where I still don't know what that was. And, you know, thank God that Julio was able to pluck that away, because that wasn't a great thrown ball for the touchdown either.
No.
But Matt, I believe, will certainly clean that up. And if Matt does his job and gets back to MVP form, we're off and rolling. The big question you and I have kind of focused on all week is, what is the Falcons' running game going to look like? Will we give it lip service, or will Dirk Cutter commit to it? And because we've gone up against two rugged defensive lines, Eagles were banged up. We knocked some of their guys out. But what's our run game going to look like on Sunday in Indy?
Well, it's a great point because, you know, one of the things that we'll get into a little bit deeper in the Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock is our run game versus their linebackers. And if you missed it, as we started the show today, we found out that Darius Leonard, their best defensive player, period. But also their best linebacker, but defensively there's nobody better for them, led the league in tackles as a rookie, has been ruled out, concussion protocol. So, Mike, here's the thing now. If you believe, like I do, that at some point we got to get the run game established. We can't get into week six and go, oh, well, you know, we need to run the ball better.
Right.
You've got to have some kind of foundation of that now. And so I think with Darius being out, maybe we attempt to run the ball a little bit more. Now, that doesn't mean we won't attack their DBs, because I think they're vulnerable. And I do think from a secondary standpoint, they're going to have some issues with us. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation. We need to establish the run. Let's get it going. And now you've got their sideline to sideline backer who's not on the field. This is a great opportunity. You take advantage of what's given to you. You don't wish that upon any team. That would be like Debo being out. Nobody wants to see that. I want to play and compete against the best. But if he is, let's take advantage of it.
Right. Look, Marlon Mack has got a calf injury. He's been doing really well running the football. And we've talked about, you just mentioned their issues on defense. Again, I saw a guy on Twitter hit me up, and he's like, well, look at the Falcons, man. Eagles are banged up, and now they get the Colts banged up. Did you see our 2018 season, sir? We lost Debo. We lost Keanu O'Neal. We lost Ricardo Allen. So I don't want to hear me. And by the way, this year to start the season, we've lost Caleb McGarry. We didn't have him for the full game against Minnesota. We've lost Chris Lindstrom. Injuries are a part of the NFL. So anybody who wants to sit there and somehow feel like, oh, the path has been made more easy the first 3 weeks, give me a break.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to deal with attrition in the NFL.
They do. And so for us, that is something I'd like to see us establish. The other thing, guys, as we talk about our Falcons here on Dukes and Bell, Colts on Sunday. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Pregame starting around 11. Kickoffs at 1 o'clock with Wes and Dave with the call. Mike, T.Y. Hilton, you know, and now you got Trufant off to this great start, right? This may be the best start from a ball-hawking interception standpoint since Tru's been here. Has he been solid at times? Yes, but as you like to say, solid but not spectacular. Okay, so now he's got some picks under his belt. He's playing with confidence. He's been in the right place at the right time over the last couple of weeks. All right, so let's continue that. I need to see the other guy, though, which is why I bring up T.Y. Hilton. If I'm the Colts, I'm trying to set up mismatches with Isaiah Oliver.
T.Y. Hilton, through two games, leading pass receiver for the Colts, 130 yards. So the T.Y. Hilton that most of us, if your team was on auto draft and you went to the bathroom or grabbed a beer during your fantasy draft and you got T.Y. Hilton, you go, oh, man. Now, 5 or 6 years ago was a different kind of option for you. So I don't think we fear the deep passing game, but any quarterback, including Jacoby Brissett, if you're going to let him pat the football and sit back there without pressure, he's going to find somebody. Ebron, they've got good tight ends. We've talked about that earlier in the week. So I don't think we should look at any road game in the NFL for the Falcons as an easy one, but there are certain matchups you like this week. Again, especially if Tack McKinley and Vic are getting after it and Grady is doing the job he's been doing.
So, you know,
I mean, are you worried about Jacoby Brissett beating you to the air? No.
No.
You're worried about them taking the air out of the ball. Marlon Mack running for 150 yards, but he's not 100%.
And that's the thing. And now I do think he will play on Sunday, but you're right. I mean, this kind of puts a damper on what they want to do. And the thing with Jacoby Brissett is protecting him. You know, Frank Reich's not an idiot. He's been around this league a long time, great backup quarterback, had some tremendous wins on his own, and now is a great offensive mind. And you mentioned it was under Doug Peterson. He's trying to set Jacoby Brissett up to not be in a situation where he's going to make mistakes.
Right.
So that's where the Marlon Mack thing comes in. I think, you know, if we're able to get up on them and now you're forcing Brissett to have to throw the ball, changes the game. And that's where we can really jump routes and take advantage. And that's, you know, I think that's something that I'm thinking is going to happen on Sunday.
Now, we talked, I guess it was yesterday, we're up at Murph's outside the Braves game, and we're talking about Jacoby Brissett when he was part of the Wolfpack, how he used to really pick him up and put him down. He ran for almost 900 yards in two seasons, and he had 6 touchdowns. So far, Jacoby Brissett has stayed in the pocket, Carl. He's only ran twice. He did have one long gain of 7 yards, but for the most part, he is just kind of kicking it back. 34 yards on the ground for Jacoby Brissett. He wants to make it happen with his arm. But I do believe, Carl, on the road, if this team plays the way we did against the Eagles, we're going to win. That was a physical team. That was a violent game.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes people watching it on TV, if you were there like we were and you hear the pads popping, you see guys dropping like flies, the last 3 minutes you had like timeout, injury, timeout, injury, timeout, injury. I just think if we maintain that level of intensity, we can go on the road and beat anybody. But that's what the – whenever he said fast and physical back in 15, we're like, oh, crap, another coach with a cliche. Well, that was the real deal on Sunday night.
It was the real deal. It was a physical
Eagles
team.
Couldn't even practice yesterday.
It was
– Or Wednesday.
Well, and here's the other thing. They were delivering blows even after the ball was delivered. I thought the Ricardo Allen hit the end zone again on Aguilar was as big of a play as any. I want to go
and
back
to – that's a legal hit, but a clean hit. And that's how this – what was Legion of Boom? Legion of Boom were plays like the one Ricardo made.
Yeah, and turnovers. That was the key. I want to go back to something you said I want to address real quick. It's Dukes and Bell coming up, Jason Longshore, about Jacoby Brissett. And I just want to paint a broad stroke here, and some people may disagree with this. But with black quarterbacks in the NFL, they have been told, Mike, that generally speaking, to be successful in this league, you're going to have to ultimately be able to throw the ball, right?
Right.
Even guys who have been mobile, and I'm going to use Lamar Jackson for an example. The reason why Lamar is having so much success right now is because they haven't told him not to do what he does well. When it's not there, Lamar's tucking and going, right? Now, is he getting out of bounds? Is he getting down? Yes. But Jacoby is almost in this mindset now that Andrew Luck has left that, oh, drop back, 1,001, 1,002, 1,003. And if it's not there, instead of doing what comes natural, and that is get positive yards, he's almost making himself ineffective. I just think it's across the board when quarterbacks get the opportunity.
Right.
It's something that's been ingrained, and we always talk about it. And I don't disagree. Listen, you got to learn to read defenses and be able to throw the ball in small windows in the NFL to be successful. But if you can run, run. And I don't get that about Jacoby. You said it. He's capable, but I think the mindset is, oh, well, I got to show everybody that I can drop back and throw and deliver the ball. Well, Lamar Jackson's doing that, and he's running, and his team is undefeated, and he looks really good right now. I don't know if that gets him to a Super Bowl.
Right.
But I just think whatever it is you do well, you should do it.
Well, you look at the top quarterbacks in the league right now as far as touchdowns. Dak Prescott, blick. Patrick Mahomes, biracial angel, Lamar Jackson. So the top three quarterbacks as far as getting touchdowns are African-American, if that, to your point,
yeah,
guys that are getting it done. So can we finally put to rest the stigma of the black quarterback in the NFL?
Well, it's the first time I think we've had this many starters around the league. I'd have to go back and look. Usually, you know, there was one or two. And
I mean,
obviously,
coaching is a completely different thing.
Yes, it is.
Needs to be addressed. But as far as the quarterback, I don't even think it's a thing.
No, it's not a thing. But I do think the stigma of how they should play is still a thing.
True that.
That's
well,
the difference.
The other thing is, though, go back. For instance, I'll give you another guy. And he's, I believe, Polynesian. You go to Marcus Mariota. We talked about him earlier. You watched it last night against the Jags. Coming out of Oregon, this guy had blazing speed to the sideline, could beat you with his legs. He doesn't run anymore.
No.
Because in the NFL, as RG3 found out, Mike Vick never really found it out because, unfortunately, he went to the Hooskow. He was still able to run when
yeah.
things kind of
went
south.
Out.
And when he came back, he was more of a thrower. But if you do try to run, you're going to get beat up because in the NFL, they can match the speed. You can't get to the boundary like you could in college.
That's it. And when they do hit you, it hurts.
Right.
So
get down.
It is a big deal, man. It.
And by the way, I saw a great line, and I don't know. It was a writer on the West Coast, and I apologize. I saw it on Twitter last night before I went to bed. But he said, is Gardner Minshew more Baker Mayfield than Baker Mayfield right now? I had to laugh at that. It's a great line.
It is. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We'll talk more Falcons along the way. Coming up, Jason Longshore is going to join us. Guys, each and every day, we give you a message of the day. It's brought to you by MimeCast, right? And the thing is, we pick out a tweet. Now, you can tweet at us. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. I got a great tweet earlier this morning from Dave Hank, who said, Dukes, I think you might like this. And it was a broke-down Notre Dame football truck, an 18-wheeler that carries equipment
oh, no.
and all kind of stuff, broken down on the side of the highway. Now, if you believe in foreshadowing,
ooh,
that is foreshadowing. So, Dave Hank, thanks for tweeting at me and sending that. But it brings you to our MimeCast,
wow.
Global cloud cybersecurity provider, guys. Protect your business email from cyber attacks. Again, it's spelled MimeCast.com.
I mean, just like NASCAR teams, college football programs have their big 18-wheeler. And I remember after Tom Brady and Michigan beat Alabama in the Orange Bowl one year, the Michigan truck was pulled over to a rest stop over like by like Lake City, and literally hundreds of Michigan fans pulling over to get their picture with the maize and blue truck.
Yeah. This was on some rural road. Obviously, they're making their way down here,
right.
but the truck broke down, and I'm going, foreshadowing. Hey, man, coming up, Jason Longshore. We'll talk Atlanta United next. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. We're live at Grindhouse. Grindhouse Killer Burgers in Athens, man. Enjoying ourselves up here. It is Mike. Now, before we get to our man, Jason Longshore, this breeze up here.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
And if you're on 316 right now, stuck in traffic, I know. Get your butt out here and just have some fun. We got a great crowd. We don't want to name schools. We have educators that have let their hair down. They're hanging out here drinking some brew. Get that picture of Hey Man going. Beautiful people from all over, even enjoying time with Notre Dame folks.
Yeah. And by the way, dog fans remember a couple of years ago how gracious they were up there. So return the favor when you see these Notre Dame fans. It's personal when they're in between the lines, but after that, before that, it's all good.
Right on. Hey, man, join us right now on the WadeFord.com hotline as we get ready for now what really are must-win games. We don't really have wiggle room. If anything, we got to win and need some help to improve our station in the Eastern Conference playoffs. It's at Longshore.com. Jason Longshore, he and Mike Conte will have the call 3:30 against the San Jose Earthquakes. Jason, let's go back and talk about what happened up in Cincy. I thought sluggish, but they kind of parked the bus, but we opened things up in the second half, and it was just a fun game, and Joseph obviously looked amazing.
Joseph's goals in the second half are as good as it gets, and Cincinnati, you know, tried to do some of what Columbus did to Atlanta. They tried to get numbers behind the ball. They tried to hit on the break. They just don't have as many talented pieces as the Crew did, so they couldn't really get out on the break. Eventually, Atlanta pinned them in deeper and deeper. They had a couple moments. They had some moments on set pieces that made Atlanta look a little shaky. But second half, Atlanta sped things up. And that's going to be the key when you face teams that want to sit back deeper is change the pace sometimes. Go faster. Go slower. Get them out of that comfort zone of just sitting back and defending. I thought the second half, Atlanta did a really good job of that.
As far as you know, listen, we were more talented than they were, Jason. Obviously, that showed out. But have you ever seen a more beautiful goal than that? I mean, you've seen a lot of soccer. What did it compare to for you Because if you're a novice soccer fan, you might have just went, wow, that was pretty impressive. That was as beautiful as a goal as I've seen in international play or, for that matter, World Cup play.
I can't think of a goal that I've seen in person that compares to that. I mean, you go back to some of the unbelievable goals of all time in the sport, and sure, but in person, being in the building and seeing it, I just – Joseph Martinez sometimes just takes your breath away, just blows your mind with what he can do. And that whole sequence on the second goal with just a ball played in by Julian Gressel quickly to see if Joseph can make something of it, and he has the creativity to attempt the back heel to himself over his own head and gets on it, and then the composure in the 18, because you see it so many times when – strikers get into the 18, they rush it. They look for the quickest shot possible. Joseph took extra touches, put defenders on the ground, and then picks out his spot. It's just the guy is playing at a level that I don't think we've ever seen in this league. And to score in 15 straight matches and be, you know, shouted out by FIFA.com as one of the longest goal-scoring streaks in the history of the sport, that's a big deal.
Right. And actually getting juice over in the European papers as well. I mean, they're taking notice of the accomplishment from Joseph. It is our man Jason Longshore at Longshoe on Twitter to ask him any questions. Because as soon as we lose a match or win a match, I'll hit Jason up and go, what happened here? Jason, we lost some matches early. We had some matches we should have won or should have tied. Either way, this is our lot in life. Now we get a San Jose team. And is it Mateus Almeida, a coach who kind of like DeBoer? It took a while for them to adapt to his style. They stayed with it. And what is this team and what do they present to us on Saturday afternoon?
I can tell you this much, that I don't expect San Jose to sit back at all. It's not in their DNA. It's not in Mateus Almeida's DNA. And he comes in with a very clear idea of how he wants to play. He kind of takes a lot of the good things that Atlanta does with possession and with the ball, but combines it with a high-energy defense. Now, what that can do is that can create some great moments and great goals on the break. It can also create some big-time defensive breakdowns and giving up a lot of goals. So San Jose has been a little all over the place this season, and some of that's by design, but some of it is Almeida in year one with a roster that, for the most part, was built for a different style. The fact that he's got them in a playoff race in the Western Conference, no one expected San Jose to be where they are. Problem is, they come in on a bad losing streak. They come in playing their third straight on the road. They lost their first two. They've struggled away from home this year, and Atlanta can do a lot of the things that San Jose has trouble with. When you can spread San Jose out, they have problems because of their somewhat man-to-man defensive style.
What's up with Barco and for his health and all of that heading towards the postseason? Are you concerned at all?
Yeah, I am. I would have loved to have seen him back on the field by now. The later it gets, you worry about how effective he can be in the postseason. But you do have to remember that the calendar is a little different because you have that international break after decision day before the first round of the playoffs. So you have another 2 weeks in there to get fit. The fitness part isn't as concerning because of that 2 weeks. It's the sharpness. It's the match fitness. It's being in sync with the teammates. Now, remember, Miguel Almiron was injured late in both of the last 2 years and came back to contribute right in the postseason. Last year, first game, only 45 minutes. It could be a situation where Barco has to be in that spot where it's either a start, come out at halftime in that first playoff game, or be available off the bench now that these are all knockouts.
Jason, I know I ask you this all the time. I know that sometimes he's a one-trick pony. He's got speed, and he'll blast an amazing goal, and sometimes he just is there. But it seemed like Villalba, Tito, gave them a little bit of a bounce against Cincinnati. I mean, I know he can't do what Miggy does, but when Barco's out, can Tito do some of the things to help stir the drink?
It's different because Tito's a little bit more of a guy who's going to be in the same spaces that Joseph can. And I think Tito's a really hard worker where he'll try to find the different parts of the field so Joseph can be Joseph, because you don't want to take away anything that Joseph Martinez gives this team. Tito's a natural striker or second forward. He wants to be in a lot of the same spots. This team's built around Joseph being that central point. So Tito has to drop a little bit or drift out wide a little bit more and find those opportunities to contribute. What I love that he brings, and I think in Cincinnati it was needed, is the energy and just the spark. He kind of just mixes things up. It's not always pretty, but he brings you an attitude that at times you need.
Brad had another clean sheet. How would you rank Brad Guzan's performance this season? I think, you know, it kind of goes under the radar as we talk about our club. Obviously, the guys on the team, we had Julian on the show the other day, Jason, and we asked him about this, and he was like, you know, we don't take it for granted how good he's been. But where does that rank as far as, you know, the importance of heading into the playoffs and the back half playing as well as we've seen it play?
To have a goalkeeper that you can count on and not have to worry about the guy behind your defense, and especially the way Atlanta wants to play. They want to get numbers forward. They want to take chances going forward. When you have a goalkeeper that you believe in and you know can step up and make the big save for you, even if it's just one in a game. And that's, I think, the reason why Brad doesn't get enough credit with what he's doing with his team is he's not called upon to make 5, 6, 7 saves a match. It's one or two big moments, and he shows up. And look at what he did in Cincinnati, not just making 2 saves, but also coming off his line on set pieces and being a presence for this team. Without Jeff Larinowitz playing as many minutes, without Michael Parkhurst playing as many minutes, a lot of the leadership is coming from Brad Guzan. He's taken that on in a big way, and it's critical for this team.
And Jason, off the air a couple of weeks ago, kind of explained to me why, you know, the pecking order in the national team, there might be guys that are more athletic in the net, but Brad starts breaks. Brad has pinpoint accuracy. If you didn't watch the Cincinnati game, Brad is putting the ball 40 yards, 50 yards down the field, right at guys' feet, Jason, which I think goes unnoticed.
Yeah, I think he's the perfect fit for the national team, and it still kind of blows my mind that he has not really gotten much of a chance under Greg Berhalter. He should be, in my opinion, the number one, and everyone else should be chasing him.
Great job, Jason. Jason Longshore brought to you by Heineken, guys. Heineken, 0.0. Great taste, zero alcohol. Coming up, find out what David Pollack has to say about this matchup and how does Notre Dame win? Pollack will tell you next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.